have an army. We have a Hulk.
Can I ask you a question, Nate? What did you do? Did you turn it off and on again? Right, I think we're all here, aren't we? Let's do this, shall we?
Do a head count.
I'm here, hi! All right, Nicola, over to you. This is your gig.
Okay, so Civil War 2. So what are your thoughts of it so far? So we're 5 issues in. Well, 6-ish, because there was a 0 and a free comic book day.
6 issues and the rest.
Yeah, and the tie-ins and everything else.
I think you just highlighted my exact problem with it. As much as I'm loving the story, like, you can't define how many issues there are. It just makes me want to tear my hair out.
Yeah, that's
it makes you guys want to tear your hair out. Honestly, you've got no idea. You've got no idea what I go through every Wednesday when I go to the comic book store. You have
self-inflicted.
No idea. Yeah, fine. Okay, all right. It was self-inflicted. But there are so many tie-ins across so many titles. It is literally unbelievable. However, what I will say is I'm really enjoying it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's right. Nicola, you guys had, well, I say you guys, it was you, because obviously we've just discussed Chris doesn't read comics. Nate, can you believe that? Chris doesn't read comics.
He's dead to me.
That's it.
He's dead to us all. He's dead to us all.
No, it's bless him. We like Chris.
My impression of Chris. Oh, I don't care.
You
know?
Yeah.
I'm all right with it. When you guys said that you weren't too blown away by issue 5 of Civil War, we talked about this on our comic book review video, didn't we? Because I'd read all the things tying in around that, I got a lot more from it. But I know that, Nate, you had some thoughts around that yourself, didn't you?
Yeah. I like we said before, I shouldn't have to read extra stuff to get it. If they're saying that's the, you know, air quotes, main title, then I should be able to just read those 6 + 0 books and get the story.
Plus free comic book day.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
No, it's true. I mean, I don't know if you guys read, there was a Spider-Woman sort of crossover, and it gave you a list of all the ones you need to read to make sense, and this doesn't. So it's like, what do I read? All of them? I don't know.
I think I must have missed. Was that a physical comic?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Have I missed something? Oh, my God. No, I've read the Spider-Woman tie-ins. Was there a list at the back of that? Was there?
This was quite a while ago. It was Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, and Silk.
Oh, no, I didn't get that. No, if it wasn't the Civil War, if it wasn't Road to Civil War 2, Civil War 2 tie-in or main title, or Civil War 2 Aftermath, of which one came out this week, which is a little bit early considering it hasn't actually finished yet.
How can there be an aftermath? How does that work?
Because they've extended the storyline, but they've had to bring this comic out. I haven't even read it yet, but it's the new Avengers. It's the new Captain America-led Avengers that was put together after the Avengers versus X-Men tie-in from a couple of years ago. So it's an Avengers team with Avengers and mutants on it to try and bring those two sides back together and try and make up for everything that obviously happened in that previous tie-in, which I haven't read, by the way, so I don't know anything about that at all.
You have no leg to stand on when I say post-Infinite Crisis, new 52, pre-52, DC Comics after you've just done that Avengers rant at me.
I have two legs and I will stand on them however the damn well I like.
So, Nicola, let's flick it back to you as this is your pod and we're taking over. What do you think of it?
I really liked it up until number 5. And then I feel like, I'm probably not going to say this right, Miles Morales, or is it Morales?
Morales, yeah.
I say Morales, but I suppose it could be, but yeah. Mm.
I feel like they kind of took a dump on his character, in a way.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I just feel so bad for him because I really like him, Ms. Marvel, and Nova.
Yeah,
I really love them together. And then for him to be arrested for something he didn't do, which is the whole palaver anyway, it's just quite sad. And I mean, spoilers maybe, Captain America is kind of evil anyway. He's kind of orchestrating some things. So he probably came for a reason.
Yeah, but I don't know that because I haven't read the tie-in comics. Although I do know it because I obviously talk to you guys and read all the blogs and stuff, but I haven't read the tie-in comics, so I don't know he's evil.
Yeah.
So read the tie-in comics, Nate. Read the tie-in comics.
There's just so many. Honestly.
That's it.
It's ridiculous. There are literally way too many. Yeah. Way too many. Like, I read one over breakfast this morning that was Squadron Supreme, and it's like the third one of that tie-in that I've read, and it's like, this is so vaguely tying in, it's unbelievable. In fact, it's not really even a tie-in, so why am I even reading this?
Exactly.
But I don't know.
They put Civil War 2 on the front, and you're like, oh, I'll buy it. I read an all-new Wolverine one, and that had nothing to do with it at all. And I was like, I want my money back.
Yeah, I think one of the things I said to you, Ben, about this was, like, I want it to be called something else. I feel like it's only called that because Captain America Civil War, the movie, came out.
Yeah.
Like, if it was called something else, I would be, like, completely on board. Oh, Marvel event, great, cool. But it's, like, it's almost like it's forced.
Well, it's the 10-year anniversary of the Civil War comic, apparently.
Yes. Yes.
So, I feel like they're just using the name as well. They're like, oh, a film's coming out. Maybe they read the comic too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Maybe you're both right. But
I still do. I think the reason I think that, and the reason I agree with you on that, is that it's a good story and I'm enjoying it. I just, it's under the shadow of the film, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ben should come in with something positive here because he loves it.
Well, all I will say is, and again, I'm repeating what we said in our comic review video, but you don't have to read all the tie-ins, but the important ones that would make issue 5 stand out for you are the last Thunderbolts one, so number 5, that came right up after issue 5 of Civil War 2. And then Captain America Steve Rogers and Miles Morales Spider-Man, almost called him Superman then, Spider-Man, leading up to that issue. Just maybe like one or two of those issues would have just given that much more grounding to it. But I know you're absolutely right, like you say, you shouldn't have to read the tie-ins to make the main story make sense. Mm. I get the impression that, like I said as well, issue 5 probably suffered from the fact that it was the issue that, when they were coming up to that issue, they decided it was going to be extended. And then they were like, right, we have to trim some stuff from issue 5 to make 6, 7, and 8 actually make a bit more sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's possibly it suffered a little bit from that.
Right.
So they've extended it. So they've taken a lot of what would have happened in issue 5. Because I will admit, without having those tie-ins on board, you know, having them in your bag, it is a little bit of a, well, nothing really happened here.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I hate the fact when I try and make a point that reinforces your point, but damn it.
Curse you.
I know. But overall, I am really enjoying it. I mean, if you think that, you know, they have killed, no, I know have they killed, but they have killed. They've killed the Hulk. They've killed War Machine. They've put She-Hulk in a coma for a long time. They've almost ruined Miles Morales Spider-Man's life. They've given him PTSD. The Avengers have broken up, and now you've got these new champions, like the younger sort of Avengers, have broken off, and they're going off and doing their own thing. By the way,
Thanos is in jail, isn't he? Did you mention that?
Thanos is in jail. That's true. Yeah. So that's happened.
That's a big deal.
He's still in the picture. And of course, the second he gets his hand on a cosmic cube or an infinity gauntlet, anything can happen. But at the moment, you know, they feel like they've made some really big decisions that could be, if they stuck with them, universe changing. You know, the fact there's no Bruce Banner Hulk anymore, the fact there's no, you know, Jim Rhodes War Machine anymore, that's kind of a big deal.
True. But I feel like with comics, if you kill someone off, then, you know, maybe they're going to come back anyway. So does it actually mean anything?
Yeah. And it happens a lot, doesn't it? The power of a character dying these days, like you say, it doesn't have any as much impact because you're like, well, there'll probably be some sort of infinity gem or, you know, cosmic cube and whoop, they're back.
Surprise!
Surprise! Yeah.
They were never dead after all. Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, if you're in DC, you know, Superboy Primal just punches his way through reality. So.
Oh, God, give it up with the DC post.
All right, all right. Oh, no, we're talking about
Final Crisis, pre-52, post.
Can I say something positive about it? Because I feel like I've been on a hate train with it a little bit. I actually am continuing to buy it because I really enjoy it. But I wanted to say the art by David Marquez is brilliant. Like, it's every page is really, really lovely to look at.
It's fantastic. I agree with you. I'll let him off having a baby and delaying it for that reason.
Only because his art's good. Only.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm so glad that this is drawn by this guy, though, and it's not drawn by George Jimenez or whatever he's called, who's done Superman. Conversation. Ooh.
You really hate his artwork, don't you?
I absolutely despise it. It's terrible.
I was rereading them last night, and there's a really nice one where, I can't remember which issue it is, I think number 4, and Tony Stark's like not dissecting, but he's got an image of Ulysses' brain.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that you think an image of someone's brain is nice, but you know, I get
it's your meaning. It's so sparkly.
I know. I get your meaning. No, I mean, okay. Let's ask this question then. What's been your favourite issue of the main storyline?
I really like number 1. I think that was fantastic when they and the free comic book one day as well when they were actually fighting against someone, not against each other.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the free comic book day was the fight with Thanos that killed Jim Rhodes, wasn't it? So that was sort of a spoiler for the entire thing because that took place after issue 1.
Yeah.
Because you had issue 1 and they stopped this huge cosmic invasion. And then it sort of skips on a little bit and Tony Stark's like, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this. You know, this could be a bit dangerous. And then you get the free comic book day event where Thanos kills Jim Rhodes and almost wipes out the Ultimates. Mm-hmm. It is the Ultimates, I think, isn't it? Yeah, it's the Ultimates. Yeah. So the timeline in this has been a little bit muddled, which I don't know if that's helped them. I think if they'd made things a little bit more linear, it could have been a little bit more successful than it actually is, because I don't think it's been as successful as they wanted it to be. But I would agree with you, though, Nicola. I would agree that issue 1 is really, really good. When they're all having revels at Tony Stark's at Tony Stark's mansion. Not his mansion, at the Avengers Tower, basically, isn't it? At Stark Tower. They have... not Avengers Tower, it's Stark Tower. They, you know, when they all go into, like, a back room, and it's somewhere like the senior guys. You know, you've got Spider-Man there, you've got Thor, you've got all those guys, and Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Iron Man, etc.
Yeah.
And so I can't remember who it is. It might be Miles Morales, Spider-Man, turns around and says, oh, God, I can't believe that's Tony Stark. And Spider-Man's eating, like... He's eating cake. He's like, yeah, I know. At first, it's really weird. And then
you get over it.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
The humour's really good right at the start. And then it kind of just goes away, which is a shame, I think.
Well, they're dealing with some big stuff. True. Some really huge stuff. So I can imagine it's quite a stressful time for them.
Yes.
The writing, I do have to say, though, I do think is pretty good. Even though you might not like where the story is now, if you think about it when it ends, it could be that it all makes complete sense. Do you understand? You know what I'm seeing? It's like, oh, yeah, well, it could only naturally go there to get to that conclusion. Nate, what do you think?
Going on the writing, I mean, I have read a lot of Brian Michael Bendis' stuff from, let's say, around 10 years ago. So it feels like that. I don't think he's evolved particularly a lot as a writer, but not that he had to. I think he writes quite well. But I do read it and I hear Brian Michael Bendis. Does that make sense? Like, there was a period where he was writing all of the Avengers books and all of the tie-ins and everything, and Secret Avengers and Dark Avengers, and that was a great, great period of time. But I've read so much of it that I had to stop reading Bendis stuff, and then I read this and I think, oh yeah, I can hear his voice in it.
Like, creepy.
Yeah. Is that a bad thing? Or
no, it's not. Sometimes he makes every character quippy and funny, and that works now that Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Yes.
But Iron Man didn't always used to be like that. And it's almost like he writes every character as Spider-Man.
Okay,
yeah.
Because he's like the fun one that should be making the jokes, but lots of them make the jokes and lots of them are quippy. But that's, you know, that's just my opinion. I mean, he is a good writer and I do like his stories and I am enjoying this one, but I noticed that probably because I've read so much Bendis.
Right, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm trying to think of one that I read the other week, and bear with me a second because I can't quite figure out which one it is, because obviously I've bought an awful lot of comics recently. But it was one of the last Iron Man ones. And literally, there was no action in it whatsoever. Oh, here it is. I found it.
I remember you telling me about this.
Was this the AA meeting he went to?
Yes, it's Invincible Iron Man number 14, and it's written by Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh, surprise.
And basically, there's no action there whatsoever. They literally, Tony's like, oh, I need to go to a meeting because I'm feeling some old feelings, and my alarm bells that I know I have to, when I have to go to a meeting, that are going off, they're receiving their alarm bells. So I absolutely have to go to a meeting right now. But I can't go to the meeting I normally go to because Carol Danvers will be there.
He's
also an alcoholic. So he's like, right, so I'm going to go to a different meeting out of respect for her. So he goes to a different meeting and Carol Danvers is there. And they sort of... They're incognito. They're like wearing sunglasses and hats and jackets that are like, you know, the collars folded up, so that, you know, they're sort of almost tucking their heads away. But then when Tony's about to speak, when Carol pipes up and starts speaking about how difficult she's having a time she's having at work at the moment, and it's making her feel some old feelings that, you know, she needs to come to a meeting. And Tony gets up and leaves once he realizes that she's there. She spots him and she leaves, and they go out on the sidewalk and have a conversation. And they're telling about how they love each other, and Tony used to flirt with her because he's attracted to powerful women and all this kind of stuff. And it was just like, it was heartbreaking what they're both going through to fight for their, what they think is right.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have had that in Civil War, the first Civil War. Tony and Steve, like, wanted to kill each other. They were at loggerheads completely. It was a war. Whereas this is... That conversation, as interesting as it may be to read, and as heartbreaking as it may be, it doesn't ring true to me.
Oh, dude, seriously, you are dead inside.
I am dead inside. I've got
you're
cold,
a rock,
dead stone inside my chest where a heart should be.
There was also, I can't remember if it was the main title, Nicola, you might be able to help me with this, if it was the main run or if it was a tie-in, but there was a time where Tony went to see Cap, or Cap went to see Tony or something like that, and he said, look, for once in my life, I'm going to listen to Steve Rogers and hear what he has to say. Do you remember that, Nicola? I think that might have been one of the main stories.
That was Civil War, possibly number 2, I think.
Okay. So he is going around and speaking to people who he's, you know, been at loggerheads with in the past about what he should do. I don't know. I just think some of it's great. So that would have been Bendis writing as well. I just think it's great, man. It's bloody amazing. I know I'm probably inhaling an awful lot more content than you guys, so that's why I'm liking it more. But it is just so good. And I do you know what? The question that I asked that you were going to ask, Nicola, I don't really have an answer for it, because I can see both sides of the coin.
I really enjoyed, I think, was it number 4 or 3? I can't remember. The court scene about Hawkeye when he was on trial. That was
probably
really well.
Number 4, I think, because number 3 was when he died, wasn't it? Maybe. Oh, God, I've read so many. I'm getting the numbers mixed up.
Yeah, I think it was number 4.
Okay. Yeah, the court scenes were pretty good. Did you read... there was another tie-in.
The Accused?
Yeah, that's great.
That was good.
That was Matt Murdock defending Hawkeye. No. He was trying to prosecute Hawkeye because he works for the District Attorney's Office now. Yeah. That's right. So he was trying to prosecute, but at the same time, he became aware, you know, with his daredevil powers, that people were not shooting straight dice. And that he was being railroaded into not asking the wrong questions, but basically just doing everything he could to put this guy away and win. And he was like, I believe in justice. I don't believe in justice at all costs. So, you know, I'm going to make sure that he gets a fair crack of the whip. I can't exactly remember what happens, but there's some kind of corruption going on as Daredevil battles and defeats, and it gives Hawkeye a fair trial.
There's some evidence he gets asked to withhold, I think.
That's it. Yeah, that would be it. Isn't it the suicide or the note banner?
Bruce Banner's video diary, I think.
Where he actually said that I've given Clint Barton instructions to kill me if it looks like I'm going to Hulk out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Slightly big point to hide, but...
It is kind of a big point, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
But going about tie-ins, I've read quite a few, and my favourite, I don't know if you disagree or not, is the X-Men tie-ins.
Oh, do you mean like the limited run tie-ins, like the 1-4 ones?
Yeah, they were fantastic. Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
As someone who's not reading the tie-ins, tell me what happens.
So, do you know about the war between the Inhumans and the X-Men?
Yeah, I know that Fox owns X-Men and Marvel owns the Inhumans, so therefore Marvel's trying to kill off the X-Men.
Maybe.
No, I don't know.
Please. Cynical.
I'm being cynical, so...
So you know Terrigen Mist sort of awakes Inhuman DNA?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Terrigen Mist also kind of kills X-Men, mutants.
Ah, right, okay.
So I think this is more of a storyline for the Civil War books itself, because that's more of an argument, I think.
Yeah, that's really, sounds like a really interesting story.
It really is. And then you've got Magneto, who's kind of stirring the pot, as usual.
Yeah.
Standard. It is a pretty interesting story, and it's actually being told in Death of X, which is a 4 or 5 part run, which I bought last week, and it was really, really good.
It was, yeah. Another one.
Yeah, it was about, it wasn't a tie into Civil War II, it's its own thing, but it's about Cyclops and his team discovering that the Terrigen Mist actually kill mutants, and it's set like 8 or 9 months before Civil War II, and it's everything that's sort of leading up to that.
Is it young Cyclops from the past or current Cyclops who went evil?
Current Cyclops. help me. Current Cyclops, right? It's not young Cyclops.
Because there was a storyline where... This is going to make great radio, let me tell you. But there was a storyline where they went back in time because Cyclops was starting to go a bit, not crazy, but he was starting to get a bit controlling, like Magneto used to be. And they went back in time and they got the X-Men from when they were first formed and they were like teenagers and brought them back to now. And therefore, Jean Grey was alive again. And is that right? And now... There are there's like two Cyclopses.
There's like a young Jean Grey as well at the moment. It's very confusing.
Yeah, but I could be completely talking nonsense because Secret Wars might have just wiped all of that clean. So,
Secret Wars may have had something to do with that and we're showing the fact that we've not done enough research on Secret Wars here, I think. But basically, there is a young Cyclops at the moment, though, knocking around because he was... Yeah. Shown at the end of Champions, the first issue, and he's on the front cover as like a, it's Cyclops, but he looks like a teenage kid.
Yeah.
But there are two of them knocking around. I don't know what's happened there.
That would be it. That's what it is then. So,
yeah.
Because one of them, I'm not sure how it works. It's a timey-wimey paradox because the young one shouldn't be there if the old one's there or the other way around. But even so, here we are, Marvel Comics.
I say no more.
Yes, indeed. No, I could have said the same thing for DC Comics, I suppose, or Image Comics or whatever, but yeah.
Bloody right, you kid. Go ahead. Go on.
Who turned it?
Nicola. Sorry, go on, Nicola. What have you got?
Oh, no, I was just saying, I think the X-Men and Human storyline is much more interesting than, the users. Storyline, because that's much more of an actual battle, because the Inhumans are trying to make more Inhumans but yet killing X-Men at the same time.
Yes, and the X-Men are not very happy about it, and like you said, Magneto is very unhappy about it. He's like, they're trying, this is how it starts, and then everyone ends up in a camp and we all get killed. And actually it's quite interesting because Nightcrawler, who's normally always a solid member of the X-Men, sort of falls on Magneto's side in this argument, which is pretty good actually, because it's unusual that that would happen. Don't you think?
Yes.
Interesting.
But I think that's where the Cyclops storyline, the older Cyclops, he's considered, again, air quotes, evil, because he started doing things that Magneto had done in the past, where he sort of didn't create a brotherhood of mutants, but he was trying to protect mutants and save them. This is even before the Terrigen Mist came in as a problem, and that was interesting because he wasn't really a bad guy; he was just doing everything he could to protect his people. So it sounds like they've got a similar sort of storyline with the Nightcrawler there. People might think that he was evil because he was going with Magneto, but actually you can sympathise with him. You can sympathise with the villain, again, air quotes.
Yeah.
Because they're just doing...
He's now, though. Don't worry. He's changed back.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
That's all happened. it was quite interesting. It was like, wow, of all the people I expected to go over and sort of help Magneto... I would not have put it as Nightcrawler at all. Top 10 of X-Men to go over wouldn't have put it as him. But there you go. There you go.
Well, he did pop up.
No, I was just saying that was quite an interesting run. I did like that as well. Yeah, it was good.
Mm.
It's good.
Yeah. He popped up in, I think, was it issue 2? And Captain Marvel found a banker with an empty briefcase. Briefcase?
Oh, briefcase. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were holding her. They had no evidence or anything. And then Nightcrawler popped up and took her out, back out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was quite interesting, actually. For a little while, I was like, what happened? What happened there? Oh, right. Okay. That guy turned up. Okay, pretty good. But yeah, no, there are... What that highlighted was the first time that Ulysses had made a prediction and it hadn't actually come true.
Yeah.
And there's sort of... There's maybe a little bit of concern that Ulysses makes a prediction and the people that then act on that prediction make the prediction come true.
Mm.
Whereas if they didn't act on the prediction, nothing like that would happen because those people aren't involved in it. So some of Tony's, when I think about it like that, I'm like, well, I'm kind of on Tony Stark's side. We shouldn't be messing around with this. But then at other times, when you see that cosmic event invasion, they stopped, you know, by using all those the sorcerers and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they banished him back to whichever dimension he came from. It's like, yeah, but look at all those lives they've saved. So I wrestle with this decision every Wednesday. You know, what side am I actually on?
Who am I?
Who am I?
Yeah. I find it like, really tricky.
I can help you with that, though.
Okay.
Because Iron Man's right.
Ooh.
Oh, is he really?
Yes, he is, yes.
And why is this?
I just completely agree with him. I think it's you can't try someone until, you know, they've actually committed a crime.
True.
Yes.
Steven Spielberg proved this to us in the Minority Report back in the 90s.
Yes. Okay. Fine. And yes, you are absolutely right. A lot of what Carol is doing and, you know, what Ulysses is doing with his predictions. Well, it's not Ulysses' fault. He's got the power. But what Carol is doing with the information is, to a certain extent, profiling, which is, you know, not something that we should be doing in any way, shape or form. But again, there's that argument that when they save the amount of lives that they have done, is it, or should it be used on like a scale of the priority of the incident, if I could use a work phrase there? Oh yeah. God, I'll get my coat and leave. I can't believe I'm just... But you know,
it makes for a compelling story, definitely. And I'm being flippant by saying that Tony Stark's right, but I do sort of lean that way a bit more. I feel like these threats that appear,
mm-hmm.
the Avengers could all just band together and defeat them no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, have you been reading Ms. Marvel at all?
Anyway? No.
Yes.
It's quite sad.
Yes.
She was kind of working with Captain Marvel. She had her own team that were kind of a little bit Nazi-like.
Okay.
And they were working to try and, you know, detain people before they did what they did. And then her friend got really hurt. And then she was a bit like, oh no.
Yeah, she was, it was almost like her love interest, but not really, from the comic book writer. It's like one of her friends, who was like a very close friend, who helped her become who she was as Miss Marvel. I can't remember the guy's name. He's got an odd name, but it's not that odd. But anyway, so he helps her out, and then there's like the prediction that he's going to do something. He might blow up. Is it something to do with like school data or something like that? Or I can't even remember what it is, but he might blow up the high school that they both go to.
Yeah.
Carol's sort of mini Avenger squad that's got quite a few overzealous members, let's just say. They sort of go in and take him out, and it really injures him. And then she wrestles with the decision about whether it's right or wrong, because she really looks up to Captain Marvel and she wants to do right by her. But at the same time, every fibre in her being is saying that this is wrong. So there's like a breakdown in relationship between her and Captain Marvel, which destroys her. But she's like, no, this is right. I can't be this person for you. And like, I think Captain Marvel, doesn't she say something along the lines of like, I'm just really disappointed or something like that? And it's like the ultimate gut punch. You know, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Oh,
like, that's even worse. But that was really good, actually, Nicola. That's a really good point. That was great. That was a great comic. Yeah, great.
Oh, I don't know. It's just so difficult. One minute I'm like, yeah, Tony's right. And then next I'm like, actually, Captain Marvel's right. But then,
so what side of the equation are you falling down on today? These are the questions. These are the questions.
Well, probably more Tony, I think. After what Carol does, Captain Marvel, after what she does, you know, with the briefcase. And
Yeah. She's called Carol. That's fine. She's called Carol. That's okay.
Yeah, after things like that, I can't really side with her.
That's fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. I can understand.
But then you can not do something if something bad is going to happen. It's really tricky.
Well, this is it. There's also the argument that she is suffering from a form of PTSD herself because she witnessed her the love of her life killed in front of her eyes. And since then, she's not really dealt with it. She's put it to one side and she's been doing this as like a, almost like a distraction. But if she took a step back and dealt with her feelings for the loss of her of the love of her life, War Machine, Jim Rhodes, would she actually come down on the side of what she's doing at the moment, or would she be like, my God, what am I doing? I'm going crazy here. So I don't know. I think ultimately Captain Marvel is going to lose the Civil War, and I think it's going to be that Tony Stark is proven right that they shouldn't be doing this. The fallout from that decision, though, I couldn't tell you what it's going to be, but I think it's going to be huge.
Okay.
I genuinely think it's going to be huge.
My big sticking point with this, though, is in different comics you read about his visions, there's different things about it. So they kind of, one comic, he does one thing, and in another, he does something else. So it's not quite consistent.
Do you mean how the visions are seen by other people around him?
Yeah, and how it works. I mean, there was one in X-Men, he was describing how it works. He says, oh, it doesn't work like that. And then in Civil War, the main issue, it's like completely different.
Yeah, it probably worked just like how he said it wouldn't work in the
end. Yeah. It's like, what is it?
Well, that it could be that his power is evolving as he uses it. There was an issue, it might have been Ultimates, but it showed you that he was plugged into like a huge command center, basically. You've got all these guys on like operating computers and all this kind of thing, and they're like getting visions out of Ulysses when he's plugged into this thing for like 10 hours a day. They're getting like dozens and dozens of visions out of him all at one time. So it could be that them using him in that manner is evolving the power of prediction, of precognitive prediction that he has in whatever way. But what I thought was really interesting was in the last issue, in issue 5, where it was almost like white light coming out of his fingertips and wrapping itself around people. That was new. I hadn't seen that before, but I thought it was kind of cool the way they did it. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it looked great. It's going back to the artwork. It's just really, really well portrayed. You feel what's happening to him.
Yeah.
Can I go back to your point, Ben, about the fallout of the end of the comic?
Please do.
I hate to be that cynical guy, but I am a little bit. But knowing that Marvel are producing a Captain Marvel movie, which is going to star Carol Danvers, that I think will play into how the storyline will wrap itself up in some way. I wonder what will happen, because we're at least a year out from that movie. I think it may be 2 years out from it. I wonder if you're right, Captain Marvel will lose and have to have a period of, you know, in the trenches, in the gutters, not living well, and then they'll reboot her comic or a story to some degree. They'll give her a new number one,
and she'll make a triumphant return or something like that.
Yeah. So, or like 6 months before the movie, and then therefore they can get a trade paperback out for the new movie. I think that's the kind of route we'll probably go down. I do think that is key. It shouldn't affect the storytelling, but I think it will.
Cynical, very cynical view. But I think you're probably right.
Well, I think if they're trying to make people like Captain Marvel, they're not going really down the right route.
I agree.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, but that goes back to what I said just a minute ago, that she's doing is focusing on her work for, like, I don't know, say 20 hours a day or whatever it is. That's all she's doing. She's doing work, because if she stops, she has to deal with her feelings of loss, her feelings of the future that she had planned out isn't going to be the one that she gets. So I think at the moment she's in the driven mode. Eventually she is going to stop and take stock, and she'll probably break down because of everything that she's lost and everything that she's been through for the past however long the timeline of these events has lasted. I've just
figured it out. This is my prediction.
Okay.
Ulysses is evolving. You're right, Ben. His powers are evolving.
Yes.
He will turn out to be a mega bad guy, and Carol will see it and have to turn around and say, Tony, you were right, and then they have to fight together against Ulysses.
What if Ulysses predicts Carol killing him?
Ah, yes.
And Tony's like, yeah, let's make that happen. And then what if they both sort of like become the bad guy?
Oh, again.
I mean, I've thought pretty much since issue one that Ulysses cannot survive this because his power could be used in too many ways that could harm the world, basically. You know, it's too powerful for any one man to have. So I do think that someone's going to take him out, or he's going to maybe decide to kill himself because of the chaos that he's causing. That would be quite dark, but I wouldn't put it past Bendis at all.
But or at least he'll appear to be dead and everyone will think he is, and then the last panel of the last comic will be, oh, I'm in the shadows.
Yeah.
The ground moves above the...
nice.
Very good. Very Batman vs Superman. Yeah. Well done.
Going back to what you said, though, I just feel so sorry for him.
Yeah. He's just a teenage kid.
This
kind of just happened. Yeah. No, it's a real gutter, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Every time he has a vision that's truly terrible, he cries, and I'm like, oh, so bad.
You know, he's just a comic book character, right, Nicola?
I do, but,
Yeah, well, there's me reading, you know, saying that about Carol and Tony, you know, telling how much they love each other. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, I'm so choked up.
Feelings.
The feels. Oh, it's so lovely. Yeah.
I feel like a robot in the room. I'm like, what is love?
God, he's dead inside, Nicola. Don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry, you're dead.
Yeah.
Did you cry watching AI?
AI, no.
Really?
It's very sad. It's a very sad film, but it's like amoral. I feel like it doesn't know what's right or wrong. And it doesn't make me cry. It makes me disturbed, that movie. Great movie, but yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're pretty much dead inside.
He's dead inside.
I cry at Forrest Gump, that's what I've cried.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
There you go. I do have a heart, really.
We found it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shriveled up like the Grinch.
Yeah.
So, probably going to one of your favourite topics, Nathan. So, Civil War, and you had Rebirth, quite similar times.
Yes.
This is probably a stupid question because I know the answer already, but which you prefer?
Do you know what? I have to answer that strangely, in that I would say probably Civil War 2 because it's going to be a complete story. Rebirth is a different... There was a one-off Rebirth title, which was good, and I enjoyed it, but it was kind of like chapter one, page one of a 1,000-page novel that you're just starting to read. That's what it felt like. Whereas I think Civil War 2, well, it is. It's going to have a beginning, middle, and end. So I probably, if I was to go back in 10 years' time and pick up one of, you know, the first few comics of Rebirth or Civil War 2, I'd probably pick up Civil War 2 because I know that I could read it and it would end and it would be a complete journey for me.
Yay!
I still prefer Superman to anyone else, though, so, you know.
Fair enough. Ben?
What he said. Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's a really good point. If you're going to get a trade paperback in 10 years' time of the Rebirth story, whatever the hell that story is, because at the moment it's so many things are happening.
Yeah.
Literally, it would be the biggest book in the world because I don't know if in 6 months, like they're going to stop at 6 months and do like another Rebirth issue or something like that. I don't know. I don't think so. But you wouldn't be able to pick up just one comic book and read it and understand everything that's happened from this Rebirth. Whereas, like Nate said, Civil War 2 has got to have a start, middle, and end. Yes, there are a billion tie-ins, and yes, they do flesh out the story more, and yes, they shouldn't do that, but they do. So the fact of the matter is that all of these comics that you've got them will come out eventually in a trade paperback of, you could get probably like the complete Civil War 2 thing. That might be a thing. I'd probably get that, definitely. You know, because I haven't bought enough comics lately. But no, I would definitely say Civil War 2 for me is, of the two things, it's because it's a start, middle, and end story. It's a complete thing. What about you, Nicola?
Yeah, I agree, definitely. I like an actual story, because the one thing about Rebirth that's been annoying me, they set up this whole Watchmen thing in the one shot.
Yes.
And where is that going? Where are they?
Well, they kind of have dripped teeny tiny bits of that through so many different titles. Like Wonder Woman's having this weird reality changing, what's the history? Titans have got, you know, Wally West has appeared. Superman has Mr. Oz in the background every now and then. Suicide Squad's got stuff going on. You know, there's so many tiny, teeny tiny clues to it. But you're right, I don't read all of those titles, so I don't get all of that. So it's frustrating to think, like you say, there was this huge reveal, and then they've gone, oh, no, we won't talk about that again. No,
you have to buy more.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a business, isn't it? Cynical. Yeah.
buy more, and we're not going to tell you where it goes in, so buy everything.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
So we've got three more issues.
Yes.
And you think Ulysses is going to die.
I think Ulysses is going to die. I don't see how he can live. But how he dies, I don't know. He could, like I said, he could kill himself, or he could have a prediction that Carol kills him, and Carol sees it as, you know, she's got to a point where maybe she sees that as the only way out. I don't know. But I do think that he's going to go. That's what I think. And he'll be gone for good. Not comic book dead. Dead.
Dead.
Comic book dead. Not comic book dead. Comic book dead. What do you think, Nate?
I think he'll be the bad guy. Mm. And I think his powers will evolve to something different to what they are. I wonder if there'll be some sort of time travel involved with it, because his predictions are of the future. So maybe he'll end up in the future or something, or he'll disappear. I think he'll be the bad guy. I think that's what'll happen.
That's very interesting, actually, that you mentioned time travel, because in Spider-Man 2099 and Supreme Squadron comic books, there's an awful lot of talk about a time machine that just so happens to be in the Baxter Building, which is owned by Spider-Man currently and Parker Industries. So could be. Yeah, interesting. Ooh. Could be. What do you think, Nicola?
Me, I think it's going to go like Bilbo Baggins in Lord of the Rings.
Well, you're going to get Stan Lee going, and that's how it ended. Yeah. And like, get all this guy called Brian Michael Bendis, the end.
He's going to go live with the elves in live out his days peacefully.
Okay.
No, I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest. I think you might be on something with him being a villain, or him dying, possibly.
Mm.
Or both, yeah, or both.
Or both, yeah.
We might do the stereotypical, I'm going to sacrifice myself.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But the greater good.
The greater good.
The greater good.
Perhaps he'll bring back War Machine with his sacrifice in some way.
Oh, yeah. What if Carol was given the chance to, you know, for War Machine to die, or to come back, you have to kill Ulysses or something like that? Or, oh, they could do that, could they? No.
I don't know, but maybe Bendis should be listening to this.
Yeah, you heard it. Well, we know he listens to the We Have a Hulk podcast, so, you know.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
He's going to write in. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So where are we going to go from here? I mean, you've got Champions. That's really good, actually. You've got the Death of X.
Where are we going to go from here? It's all going to restart again. Number one issues across the board. So the fact that Champions number one has come out, what else came out? Oh, there's Death of X number one, Jessica Jones number one, Cage number one last week. There was some more this week as well. And this is when Civil War II was supposed to finish.
Yeah.
They're going to reset everything again. You know, you've got Iron Man.
Doctor Doom.
Yeah. What is it called? That's I can't remember what that comic is called. Jim told me the other day. But yeah, so you've got him with Doctor Doom. You've also got Riri Williams taking over as Iron Heart. So that's going to have a number one. Yeah. Of course, you've got Thor coming back in Thor the Unworthy Thor, or Thor the Unworthy, whatever it is, which I'm going to pick up. So that's happening as well. They're just going to they're going to get to the end of this and start again. That's what's going to happen. But I don't know where they'll be. Who knows?
Mm. I mean, because they're doing the whole now thing, aren't they? They've completely re-abandoned already.
Yes. Yes, they have. Yeah. You know, good old Marvel. They like to keep things ticking over, don't they? Mm. Oh, God.
A Have you got the Spider-Man clone conspiracy?
Yes, that started, didn't it? This Wednesday, I think, was the first issue. That's Dan Slott as well. He's very good. Nate and I bumped into him. Well, bump into him.
As you do.
What was that? Nate Showmasters in Cardiff?
Yeah, Film and Comic Con Cardiff, yeah.
Well done. You remembered it for once.
That's because I got it wrong the whole time of that weekend.
That's right, yeah. No, we met that guy, and he is the nicest guy you will ever meet.
Wow.
Yeah, he was so cool, so friendly, so chatty, and he's so keen to meet and talk to comic book fans, basically. Because
he loves his craft, doesn't he? He loves the art of it. He loves making and writing and being part of it all. You can tell just from when he talks, he gets so passionate, and he was really animated about comics and comic book stories and Spider-Man and Silver Surfer and things. And
quite surprised, actually, that he hasn't been more involved in the Civil War II runs, because I don't think anything that he's done, like Silver Surfer's popped up, but not massively. Spider-Man's been in it, but not been written by Dan Slott. So I don't know, really. Maybe he was like, now I've got enough going on with all the clone conspiracy and the Silver Surfer stuff I'm doing and all that other stuff. Does he do Spider-Gwen as well? I don't think he does, does he? Maybe he does. Oh, I can't remember. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, so, lastly, what would you give a rating for this? Quite tricky, I think.
Oh, that's tough. Okay.
Mm.
What am I rating? Am I rating everything I've read? Am I rating just the main titles?
The main ones, I think, so far.
So far, I'm going to give it a solid... Oh, hang on. What rating are we doing? Are we doing out of 5, out of 10? Are we doing nerds chatting rating?
You have to be very specific about what your rating is. Yeah.
We do, yeah. It's a very difficult thing to do, just giving it a rating, Nicola. It's very difficult.
Since you so kindly came on the podcast, why don't we do a nerd chatting inspired rating?
Okay.
All right, you go first, Nate.
Okay, I give it 3 Ulysses premonitions out of a She-Hulk and a Captain Marvel sitting having a cup of tea with Tony Stark.
So that's 3 out of 3, basically.
Is it?
Yeah, you just said 3 Ulysses premonitions.
No, 3 Ulysses, precogs. That doesn't make it a person.
Oh, God, you've made it so difficult. Okay, I'm going to give it. Are you done?
I'm done talking nonsense, yeah.
Right, okay. I'm going to give it 4 different Avengers teams out of 5 Inhumans. There you go.
Ooh,
right.
Interesting.
And 1/2 an X-Men team. There you go. How do you like them apples?
Nice.
Top that, Nicola.
No, I don't think I can. That was quite impressive.
Well, give it a We Have a Hulk rating. What would you give it out of 5? Or whatever you want.
Oh, it's a tricky one. I really like some and really not like some others. Ooh. So, probably a 3. Out of 5? 3.5, maybe.
It will be very interesting to see what rating we all give it, both We Have a Hulk and Nerd Chatting rating, when we get to the end on the 28th of December. So I will be... That's the end. That's the end issue. That's when the last issue of the main title is released, on the 28th of December.
I have one extra theory to add.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it will end then. It'll be extended beyond.
No!
Son of a bitch. God, you're probably right, aren't you? You're probably right. Okay.
Oh, dear. Well, how many issues was it actually supposed to be?
It was supposed to be 7, the same as the first Civil War run. It was supposed to be 7 issues, and it was supposed to finish around end of September, I think, Nate, wasn't it originally?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
And then that date got bumped back to maybe the end of October. And then, of course, there was the baby issue, so it was going to be end of November. And then they went, okay, we'll have another issue, so it's end of December. So there you go. Did I say the baby issue?
I didn't mean did.
You did, yeah, yeah.
I meant human life was born onto this world. Yeah. God, what's wrong with me? My God.
Well, thank you very much for helping me.
Thank you for having us. Sorry that we...
Thank you very much.
A lot.
That's fine. It's great. It's nice. I've got no one here to talk about comics with.
Yeah, I want Chris to listen to this bit. If Chris is going to listen to any part of this conversation, I want him to listen to this bit. Chris, are you listening? Yeah, you sat there with your feet up, looking relaxed. Read comics, man. What's wrong with you? Come on. They're great fun.
The best thing ever. They are. It got me reading. Ghostbusters comics. I wouldn't be reading any books if I wasn't reading Ghostbusters comics.
There you go.
There you go.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my mum forced me to read Ghostbusters comics, and I was like, yeah, all right, yeah. And then I was just like, this is the most amazing thing in the world ever.
Mind blown.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you
for having us. Yeah, it's very kind of you. We will reciprocate one day. We'll get you and Chris on and we'll do something. That'll be cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try and drag out his man cave.
Yes. Yeah, you should definitely do that. All right, guys.
Cheers.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Cheers, Nate.